Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome into the Inside Carolina podcast presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, your spot for all your UNC apparel. This is the football recruiting podcast, the second edition of myself, Ross Martin, hosting alongside Inside Carolina's football recruiting guru, Don Callahan. Don, how are you?
I am wonderful. How did your trip to the mountains go?
It was good. It was a guy's trip with some family up to Mount LeConte, hiked up there, stayed up on top of Mount LeConte, and I saw a bear yesterday on our kind of our drive back through the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. So that was cool.
Are you sure it's pronounced LeConte?
Yeah, it's spelled like LeConte, but it's
okay.
LeConte. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Got away from Chapel Hill a little bit.
That's right. A little slow time and in team coverage. But you've done some traveling as well, and that's the focus of this podcast. We're going to break down your trip to Charlotte to visit highly touted UNC linebacker target Trent Simpson. You went to Greensboro. We're going to talk about that and a trio of very talented defensive tackles. We're going to dive into Clemson dominating recruiting, not just locally, but in terms of nationally and how their reign seems to, you know, with this recruiting pool is going to be going on for a long time. Then we're getting to our new top five. We're going to recap last week's with my trip to Five Guys and then get your submissions, the fans, the listeners, on the top five, targets, I guess, or wish list guys? How would you phrase that, Don?
Well, for the fans, we phrased it wish list, but for us, it was, I guess, because we're supposed to be objective, right?
Right.
So it was kind of like, I guess, targets, you know, best for the class sort of thing, you know, best for UNC, not necessarily who we would want on there, if that makes sense.
Good stuff. So let's dive right in.
We have a new one. Do we want to give that real quick before we
sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, we're going to do top five recruiting territories, and we'll let you kind of define recruiting territories, but we're thinking more along the lines of Greater Charlotte area, the Tidewater area, South Florida, Miami, Greensboro, Northern Virginia, Upstate South Carolina, lower state. I mean, wherever you think, if you follow recruiting, you have an idea of the main one. So your top five, make sure that you tweet your top five to me at Don Callahan IC or PM them to me on the message board, which is just, I think, Don Callahan. And you can actually make a post within the thread for this podcast, but make sure you include in addition to your top five, include your first name. We don't need your last name, your first name and your location. And we're not going to hunt you down or find out where you live or anything like that. That's just so that we can kind of separate each submission from the rest. So I'll let you,
we'll get into that more when we get to the top five, which will always come at the end of the episode. Right now, let's get into what we're talking about, and that's your trip to Charlotte, to Mallard Creek, Don. Talk to Trent Simpson, which I think is one of the top targets for UNC in the 2020 class. Let's get a quick breakdown of that visit, what you learned. There's a premium article on Inside Carolina right now, but what were your major takeaways from that trip?
Well, the main one is that, and this is not, I guess, a surprise, but Mallard Creek is definitely a hot spot for college recruiters. When I was there, there's probably at least five coaches who were watching the practice with me. I also went to Huff High School, and we ran a story on Evan Pryor, who's going to be one of the top 2021 guys. But you're asking me about Trent Simpson. I mean, the thing with him is as those who've been following his recruitment know, he narrowed his list of contenders down to a top five. He plans on taking official visits to all of those five. It actually has official visits scheduled with three of the five and has a tentative visit scheduled with Miami also. The troubling part for North Carolina fans, and not trying to be negative here, because that's apparently a bad thing. He does not have an official visit with North Carolina. Now, the good news is that the majority of his visits, or really all of his visits, are taking place in June, which means he'll be out of school. So his ability to take in during the week, you know, midweek official visits is definitely an option. But I mean, it's important for North Carolina to get an official visit, unless, of course, he plans on committing to Carolina and then just kind of saving his official visit for the season, which is also entirely possible.
So, and what his four? Can you go through the four official visits that he's scheduled already?
Yes. So he has Auburn on May 31st, Tennessee on June 7th, Georgia on June 14th, and Miami tentatively scheduled for June 21st, which is essentially those 4 weekends in a row. But again, like I mentioned, he could take a midweek and not miss any school because he's not going to be in school. You know, he might miss some workouts with Mallow Creek, which they take that very seriously at Mallow Creek because they're football power and they take football seriously. But as I mentioned earlier, I mean, one of the things that really kind of stuck out to me with him, and this wasn't from this trip, but I was looking back through my notes and he had a very interesting quote for me back on the story we posted on March 11th. And I'm just going to read the quote out, and I'm going to actually ask Ross what his take of this quote is. All right.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Even though I go up there all the time, I might hold one, meaning one official visit, for during the season just to make sure I get up there with all the recruits just to get that family feeling again.
Yeah. I mean, that makes me think, you know, that's where he wants to go and he wants to take that big official visit with all the other commits.
Yes. And that was my take also. So there's kind of like this, there's not a whole lot of like, I guess, quote unquote rules you can kind of stick to when it comes to recruiting. But the one that I have always kind of held the highest, I guess, is the official visit rule. And again, this is just my rule, is very, 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 very rare for a kid to sign with a school that he has not officially visited. And if you go back and look, there's very few, I guess, situations where that has happened. Chaz Surratt was one of them. And the reason why he did it was because of his injury, he couldn't play basketball, and he decided at the last moment that he wanted to enroll early, or else he would have definitely taken an official visit. The only other one I could think of off the top of my head was Delvon Simmons. Does that name ring a bell to you, Ross?
Does not.
All right, so this was a while ago. This was back when John Blake was a defensive line coach at North Carolina. So this is the Butch Davis era. And he actually took official visits to a bunch of other schools. He's a PA defensive lineman. He's a four-star guy. And then I guess he didn't like those options and then just suddenly decided to commit and sign with North Carolina. And then a bunch of different things happened, you know, coaching staff changes and everything like that. And he asked to be released from his letter of intent. And after a couple of months of kind of going back and forth, North Carolina released him from that letter of intent. So obviously that didn't end well. So yes. So I guess my whole point of all that is that it's very important for North Carolina to host Trent Simpson for an official visit. If he's going to guarantee the official visit for the fall, great. But North Carolina has to get that official visit if they want to make sure they sign him, in my opinion.
Good stuff. And I mean, Trent Simmons is a big time player. I'm looking at his profile now. 4-star guy, top 100 guys, ranked 67 by the 24/7 Sports Composite, the number 4 outside linebacker nationally. So he's one of the best linebackers in the country, number 2 player in the state of North Carolina. And he just got offers from Alabama, Florida, and Ohio State. So big schools are coming after him, but he already has a really good offer list. I mean, you've seen a lot of players. Where does this guy kind of rank up? What's his talents? What does he bring to a team like UNC? What could he bring to a team like UNC?
Well, he's a guy that from the get-go, when I saw him in person, I saw him moving around in practice. I believe it was last May. I have to go back and look. But he has all the tools. And it was just at that time when I saw him, he was focusing on running back. And I was like, this guy's not a running back. This is an outside linebacker. This is an elite outside linebacker. So for a very, very long time, I have been actually his biggest cheerleader when it comes to the 24/7 rankings. And I don't know how much my word did for Barton Simmons and guys who handle the rankings, but I definitely was telling everyone who I could that this guy needs to be a four-star. He did become a four-star. Like I said, he's a long guy, can cover a lot of space. He'll make tackles. He's a guy that will take up a lot of ground, great in pass coverage. He also, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, he plays for a powerhouse in the state of North Carolina. And with that, I mean, he's getting unbelievable coaching. I feel like Tripp Stone, the defensive coordinator there at Mallow Creek, is one of the best defensive minds in the state of North Carolina. And just look at what Mallow Creek has done since he's been there the last, I don't know, 5 years or so. They always field one of the best defenses. So Trent's getting great coaching. He's going to come into North Carolina or wherever he may sign with you know, a great understanding of defense, but also the ability to still be able to fill out his body and grow and develop.
Good stuff. Definitely a big time target. The one thing I kind of wrote about down about him is how important the Mallard Creek kind of pipeline is to UNC. Multiple players, you know, have come from there to UNC, and he has a teammate, right, that UNC is going after.
Yes, Quinton Williams. And we will actually have a story up. Probably by the time you guys listen to this, we'll have a story up on Quinton Williams also. Different. I mean, he's a three-star guy, so his list's a little bit different. But he just came out with his top five also. North Carolina's a major player in his recruitment. They're not a package deal at all. Both of them actually talk about that in the two updates that I have done or will do with the two teammates. But you got to think that if North Carolina lands one, it will help them land the other for sure.
There you go. And we're recording this on a Wednesday morning, and we expect to get this out Thursday, I think, after we get some editing done. Okay, that's our Charlotte trip. Anything else to take away from Mallard Creek or any other visits that we need to inform the listeners of, Donald?
Well, really from the Charlotte trip, really nothing else. I mean, we have a bunch of stuff. I also went by Monroe High School, which is just outside Charlotte, that has a 2022 recruit. And we'll actually talk about a big time 22 guy later on in this podcast too. But and then also on my way back home, I swung through Richmond County. So we'll have updates on all those guys and all the guys from Mellow Creek and Huff. If they're not up there yet, they'll be up there soon from my visits to those places for sure.
Good stuff. Okay, moving on to Greensboro, 336. You stopped by Dudley, which has two players that you looked at that UNC is looking at, and Grimsley, which has a very young player that's one of you think could be one of the better players in the nation by the time, you know, he becomes a junior and senior. Let's dive into that. Miles Murphy, I guess, is a good place to start at Dudley.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, I guess, that's the and I knew it kind of, I set up these visits, so I knew it. But then when you're actually leaving Grimsley to go to Dudley and you just left one of the top 2022 guys in Travis Shaw. I mean, I believe the rankings haven't been out yet because it's too soon for him, but I mean, he's definitely a four-star guy, no doubt. I think he really is going to be a five-star, and it's so early to say that, and I really think he's going to be up there and be ranked equivalent to Dez Evans, who we talked about last podcast. I mean, that's how highly I think this kid is. But so you're standing there, you just left with him, and then you put in your GPS to go to Dudley, and it's literally 10 minutes away, and you go into another school, and you have two other massive D linemen. One, Miles Murphy, who we'll talk about a lot, who's a 2020 guy, who obviously is, you know, front and center because he's the main class right now. But he's a four-star guy that North Carolina is in a battle with. And then you have Peyton Page, who has over 30 scholarship offers and is already ranked in the composite 247 as a five-star guy. It's just amazing just what you have defensive line talent-wise in just such a small area. And I'm just going to ask you, you are from Greensboro. You actually went to Grimsley. What's going on over there that has have you guys produced in such not only huge human beings, but huge human beings that move around like ballerinas?
I mean, Dudley's always been a pretty good football pipeline. I think they had a defensive back signed to, or committed to UNC. They eventually went to Virginia Tech. They've always had some athletes at Dudley. But Grimsley, I mean, they haven't had anybody that's gotten major interest since, I guess, the guy went to Clemson, that big DJ Reader is the last guy I can remember. I mean, it's not known.
And before him was Ross Martin, right?
That's right. Yeah, on the swim team. So it's strange that, I mean, you're saying this guy could be a top 20, top 10 guy nationally coming from Grimsley, and that's crazy because it's definitely not a football powerhouse, but it's good to see it. And I mean, it's nuts. I mean, I obviously go to Greensboro a lot for family, and it's, you know, it's exactly an hour from UNC. So it's next to Raleigh. I mean, it's the next biggest city in terms of a growing football, you know, location. And Virginia Tech has been recruiting out of Greensboro recently, but it's very close to Chapel Hill, and it's a growing area with a lot of suburban little towns and a lot of high schools and a lot of growing high schools. I know TJ, blanking on his name, the running back.
Logan.
TJ Logan was from Greensboro, Northern, so yep. definitely talent there. So what's going on with Miles Murphy's recruitment? I pulled up his profile here. Like you said, 6'4", 260, ranked 106 nationally in the 24/7 sports composite, and a guy that is obviously being recruited by a lot of big schools, a lot of SEC schools, along with the Tar Heels.
Well, he narrowed it down to five. Last week, I think it was.
What are the five?
Alabama, Florida, LSU, UNC, and South Carolina. And we actually ran a full update on him on, I guess it was Tuesday, where he discusses, he actually set up an official visit with North Carolina. He breaks all that down. The official visit to North Carolina is scheduled for mid-June. He also has official visits scheduled with South Carolina, Alabama, and he told me he had one at LSU, wasn't sure on the date, gave me a date, and then when I went to kind of look it up, it was during the dead period, so it's definitely not going to be during that, on that date. He's also trying to find a spot for Florida. It's the only school that he doesn't have an official visit scheduled to. And then he hopes to make a decision in the summer. But, I mean, this is a guy that he doesn't give a whole lot away. He's very careful with what he says. But I think North Carolina has a really good shot at this. I know the crystal ball says, I think, 100% to South Carolina. But I spent about a couple hours there at Dudley. About an hour kind of hanging out with those guys and then another hour watching practice or so. I mean, that's just the vibe I get. Maybe it helped, I'm sure, during practice. The on the sidelines was Lonnie Galloway and Tim Cross, UNC assistant coaches. So, but yeah, I definitely got the vibe that North Carolina is a strong player in this. And it's just, you know, going back to my amazement, which I'm sure people are probably sick of hearing about. But you look at Miles and you see Peyton Page right next to him. He was just a huge human being, and he's really just a big kid. One of the, you know, the goofiest kids will play jokes on you and kind of mess with you and all that sort of stuff while you're there. He was, you know, when I'm interviewing him, he had some weird helmet on. I don't know if it was a football helmet. I don't know what it was, but just a, you know, happy kid to kind of hang out with. His situation is obviously a little different. He's he has, like, I don't know, something like 34 scholarship offers, and he's looking to narrow it down to 20. And which, if you think about it, if he narrows it down to 20, which is he hopes to have it in the, I think, in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a full update on him, by the way. It's just for him, he just can eliminate, you know, 15 or so schools and kind of move forward. You know, it's just kind of a step by step process.
Yeah, I'm for him. Looking at the profiles here, I mean, you have Miles Murphy ranked 106. Peyton Page, who goes to Dudley with Miles Murphy, he's not ranked in the composite yet, but 24/7 Sports has him ranked number 6 in the nation.
Yeah.
So you're talking about this guy's going to be a 5-star, I imagine.
Yes.
When he kind of, when he, maybe next year when they kind of get those rankings out. So that's going to be a pretty incredible defensive line next season. And then down the road, like you said, there's another five-star defensive tackle in Travis Shaw. Don't want to spend too much time talking about 21 kids and 22 kids, but you think UNC is in good spots for both these Dudley kids? Is that kind of the takeaway, I guess?
Yeah, and kind of piggybacking on what you said earlier about just the distance. You know, our distance has really played into North Carolina's favor with both of the, or actually all three of these situations. You know, Travis has made very few visits, which is to be expected because he's younger, but he's made, I think, like three or four visits to North Carolina this offseason alone. And we'll have an update on him, and we'll post that, I guess, later this week, maybe early next week. I'm not exactly sure. But so he kind of talks about why he's made so many visits to North Carolina. But, you know, he definitely mentioned the fact that it's so close. And it kind of brings back to the fact that really it's an area that North Carolina, Charlotte, you can make some excuses for when you lose a guy there. But Greensboro, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Ross, I feel like there shouldn't be an excuse for losing a guy in Greensboro because it's so damn close to Chapel Hill. And there's no other school that's really as close. Am I wrong?
Wake Forest is closer.
Okay.
That was a mistake on your part right there.
That was. But should North Carolina lose a recruit to Wake Forest?
No, they should not, Don. Virginia Tech, though, has made some inroads there. And they're about 2.5 hours away from there. But it seems like UNC is more on the up in recruiting, yes, while Virginia Tech had a lot of transfers this year and some sketchy stuff there. But they've been
and transfers with guys who were from that area too. DJ Crossan, you know, there's a name pops in my mind.
Some quarterbacks and stuff. I'm sure you see all that on message boards. Good stuff. So it's pretty exciting. All the defensive tackle talent. I remember talking to some guys, and that's the hardest position to recruit because it's so rare to have guys who are 6'3", 6'4", that weigh over 260 pounds, pushing 300, that can move as quick as you need them to at defensive tackle. It's so hard to find those type of athletes. So to have three in successive classes, 20, 21, 22, right down the road, that's a real big opportunity for UNC in the next three classes. And so that's a positive to just have, because they're going to be able to take unofficial visits, whereas recruits from out of state probably weren't going to be able to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That was a great point by me, wasn't it?
It was. I was impressed. It stunned me a little bit. You noticed that I was speechless.
I got one question for you. You said you're hanging out with these kids at Dudley. Do you think they like enjoy spending time with you, hanging out with Don Callahan?
I think so. I mean, all right. So when I was hanging out with the Dudley kids, it probably, I guess so, because they got out of lifting a little bit. And I mean, most guys do like lifting, but these guys are kind of like, I mean, they're just kind of goofy. Now, in a lot of situations, like, for example, I don't know if I should even mention the kid's name, but this was during the school day. And we were waiting for his teammate to get out of an AP class. And this other kid, he was like, I'm just going to hang out with you until my teammate gets here, which ended up being another 30 minutes to an hour. And his mentality was, I either hang out with you or go to class. And it was an easy no-brainer decision for him to hang out with the Don Callahan, as opposed to studying French or whatever class he was missing at the time. But I don't know. I guess you would have to ask Paige and Miles Murphy that question, or I could ask Ross. Ross, I mean, you've spent some quality time with Don Callahan. Is it worth missing out some lifting?
Yeah. I mean, anything to get out of what you don't want to do. Well, you're a great guy, Don. All right, moving on. So we're out of Greensboro. Anything else to recap that, Don?
No, I mean, that was the three guys I went there to see, and went there and basically left.
Great. And obviously something to keep a look into, with Miles Murphy being the more recent 2020 kid that's taking visits this summer. Excuse me. And of course, the 21 kid out of Dudley and 2022 guy from Grimsley. We're going to take a quick commercial break here. The Inside Carolina podcast is brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt. Chapelhilltraditions.com. It's an online and a store on Franklin Street, a Chapel Hill tradition for over 35 years. It's locally and alumni owned, and they focus only on UNC gear, which is different from a lot of their competitors on Franklin Street. It's the best customer service, and you can visit the store on game day or online at johnnytshirt.com. And so IC subscribers get a 10% code with a discount code provided on the premium message board. So remember to check out johnnytshirt.com anytime you're in Chapel Hill or online. All right. The next topic we have on the docket here is Clemson. We talked about South Carolina making inroads into North Carolina on the last podcast. And this time you mentioned this topic. And it's a national topic about just Clemson's domination in recruiting. What's your main takeaway from that, Don, and what you kind of wanted to discuss?
Well, just basically, I've been super impressed. And just when you think it can't get any better, actually, you know it's going to get better because then you are like, oh, well, this top guy is going to decide next week. And he's, you know, he's considering Clemson very strongly. But if you just look at the 24/7 sports composite team rankings, it's just amazing. They're number one with 290.06 points. The second place team is Alabama, who has 263.9 points, which is almost 30 points separate Clemson from the number two. And just to keep it more in perspective, North Carolina, which is nine, which is very good, Clemson has over 100 points more than North Carolina. North Carolina's points 184.57. And just for those who don't understand what points I'm talking about, there's a formula which we don't need to go into, and I don't really even understand it, and I'm sure Ross doesn't either, that takes your commitments, I guess, rankings, and kind of puts it all together, spits it out, and those are the points you get, and those points determine where you're at in the rankings. And obviously, the better recruits you have, the higher your points. But it's just amazing that North Carolina is ninth, which is very, very, very respectable, and still over 100 points less than Clemson. Have you been tracking this at all, Ross?
Yeah, I listened to the CBS 24/7 Sports podcast with Barton Simmons, and he mentions that a lot. Part of our 24/7 Sports family. I mean, going through it, they have the number one defensive tackle, the number two strong side defensive end, whose name is also Miles Murphy.
Yes.
I saw that commitment. That happened pretty recently. I was like, I wonder if that's the same guy. It's not. Number one pro-style quarterback, number two running back, number three cornerback, number one safety, number two defensive tackle, number three defensive tackle, number four guard, which is Mitchell Mays out of Raleigh, who visited UNC a couple times. So, I mean, they have the top players at most of the positions, and they're rolling. And, I mean, this is who UNC is going to have to beat to win an ACC championship. And
yes.
So, I mean, this is the cream of the crop. It doesn't seem like they are going anywhere at the top of the ACC. They've won it the last couple of years. They've obviously won a couple of national championships. And that all kind of that rise is kind of thanks to Dabo Swinney, what he's been able to do there, along with what the coordinators and keeping the top coordinators there. And I don't know, you kind of cover this. What else has gone into Clemson's rise from a recruiting standpoint? Because we all know it comes down to the players, and they've been getting them, and they're continuing to getting them. And there's no sign that they're going to stop being one of the premier programs in the nation.
Yeah, I think. Well, Clemson has actually always recruited well. Even before Clemson became really good underneath Dabo Swinney, they've always been one of the top teams in the rankings year in, year out. Definitely not to this extent. I mean, right now, they're recruiting. Did you used to play the NCAA game before the Ed O'Bannon case came about and stole it away from us?
No, I never played video games growing up. I played outside, played sport, real sports.
Okay, well, I definitely played it, and I played it a lot, and Clemson is recruiting to where, you know, when you have your dynasty, and you're in, like, year five, and you've won, like, three national championships and everything, and you're basically handpicking guys, and yeah. You just have this completely unrealistic class, that's what Clemson is doing right now. But I think some of it is, one thing is the continuity with the coaching staff has been huge. they don't, I'd have to go back and actually look, but they haven't lost very many from their staff. A lot of these guys have been there for a very, very, very long time. And I think that's something that's not talked about a lot. I think we talk a lot about how Alabama loses guys like crazy, which is a testament to how good Nick Saban is. But with Clemson, they're keeping their guys. They're keeping Venables there, you know, one of the top defensive coordinators in the nation. And that has really kind of helped with recruiting and helped, you know, start early with guys. And then when you recruit a guy like, say, a Travis Shaw, Travis Shaw is probably going to be recruited by the same guy at Clemson for the next 3 years. And a lot of other schools, including North Carolina, the chances of that happening are very slim. And I think that really helps. And obviously winning a national championship last year and winning a national championship a couple of years before that are huge in helping all this. You know, they have a really good fan base. They have a great game day atmosphere. You know, it's, you know, Clemson takes football very seriously. And
I mean, it's like, I hate to say it for all the UNC listeners, but you go to a Clemson game for a visit and then you go to Keenan Stadium for a visit and it's like night and day.
Yeah.
I mean, state too. I mean, state's got a much better game atmosphere than UNC has right now. So teams that are recruiting against Clemson, Wake Forest, I mean, it's nowhere close to what at Duke. No, there's nowhere close to the atmosphere. So a guy has an offer from Clemson. He's got, you know, the great personality of Dabo Swinney, and you have that. Like you said, I think a huge part is the maintaining the coaching staff. I think at one point, I think 1 year they didn't have any turnover. Rarely did they lose coaches. They're paying their coordinators a lot of money. You mentioned Brent Venables. I brought up him as well. Occasionally they've lost some offensive coordinators. Overall, there's been so much continuity. And I think, obviously, success breeds success. So you want to join a winner. And obviously, you're going to join a team that's, you know, consistently winning and has won national championships compared to a team that's struggling or having some turnover or that doesn't feel like there's a lot of security. I think also being close to Atlanta certainly helps when you have the best collection of talent.
Atlanta and Charlotte.
Yeah, so they can pick the best players from both. Now, Atlanta, when you talk about suburban Atlanta, I mean, it is the most, you think it's the most per capita talent or just the most in general in terms of players in one condensed area? How would you explain that? Because South Florida's got probably the most condensed talent, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's tons of, studies on this stuff and people breaking it down, but I would imagine if you're just taking just the greater Atlanta area, which includes Gwinnett County and all, yes, they're getting guys in those areas, but they landed that, I'm going to see if I can pronounce this, Uiagalelei, who is the top quarterback in the nation, and he's from California. They have a guy from Texas. They have all over the place. I mean, they're landing guys, and it's definitely, you know, yeah, it's definitely impressive. The other thing I want before we move on that's also super impressive when I was doing the research for this is that they have for the top 247, which is not the top 247 composite, top 247, they have the number one guy, Brian Breezy, and the number three guy, DJ Uiagalelei. And the number two guy, Jordan Burch, is actually Clemson is leading in the crystal ball with 80%. So they had the chance to land a top three and already have two of them in the top 247. It's just impressive. I'm sure if you really hate Clemson, you are probably vomiting at this point.
Yeah, tons of Georgia players looking at it now, but you're right. They're kind of picking better players. You got Maryland kid, California kid, Florida kid, DC, Texas. So they're getting the best players where they want to. And it's a tough train to stop right now. So I think that is it for our football kind of talk. We're going to get into our top five now. And we put this out in the last podcast about picking your kind of the top five players you want you to commit to UNC, your wish list. We're going to go through those quickly. But first, Don, you put five guys as your top fast food restaurant last week, right?
I did.
And that actually inspired me. And when I was in Asheville, we went to a Five Guys. So I wanted to give you my review.
Okay, I'm listening. Okay. I'm eager. I'm taking notes.
That's right. So burger was great. I love all the condiments. I got tons of add-ons. you can pretty much put anything on there you want, you know, onions, how like grilled onions, jalapenos, all that stuff. So I got all that. Burger was great. Tons of fries, like you said. I got Cajun fries with the seasoning. That was delicious. They had the little Coke machine. You can make your own Cokes. Food was great. The atmosphere was good. They had good employees there. The one thing, man, it was really expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a normal bacon cheeseburger with a small Coke, small fries, and it was $15.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I mean, mentioned that last week. But yeah, it's you're paying the cost that you would pay at like an Applebee's or whatever. Yeah, minus you don't get the waitress though.
Yeah. I knew you'd be an Applebee's guy. I did not expect you paying $15 at a fast food place. I think anything.
But did you have to wash dishes?
I did not.
Did your credit card be declined when you went
it was
through?
Not. But it's just crazy. I mean, you expect fast food. Kind of the part of the fast food is getting there without breaking the bank. And, man, I mean, that's a $15 for lunch is a lot. We don't want to spend too much time on that. Let's go straight into the listener submissions, subscriber submissions. We have the list here now. So Don is going to start. We're going to alternate reading their picks of who they want quickly. And
yeah, there's a lot of – we broke a record.
That's right.
16 submissions. Our prior record was 13. So, Ross, are you taking responsibility for this?
Yeah, it's strange how the first time I host, we immediately break a record on submissions. So, I don't know if they're related, but we'll go with that. So, quickly, let's go through these. Don's gonna start. I'm gonna go next. And there's a couple descriptions, a couple little points that the guys make. I think those are great as well. So, we'll read some of those, and then Don is gonna go through his list of who he thinks UNC needs the most.
All right. Before I get into that, remember the next one is the top five territories. Get them to me via a Twitter or message board. Don Callion IC is my Twitter. Message board is Don Callion. Make sure you include your name and your location in addition to your top five.
Yeah, and let's go through this. I mean, I sent you this via text. I mean, I think Charlotte is an area, Greensboro, the Triangle, right? Eastern North Carolina, Tidewater, Virginia, like Northern Virginia, D.C., Maryland, Greater Atlanta, and I put like Central Florida and South Florida. Are we missing any areas? You said South Carolina?
Yeah, well, you could do upstates. Why don't we just kind of let them pick the actual areas? I mean, because, you know, maybe there's one that we're not thinking about.
Those are just some ideas to get you started.
Yes, yes, absolutely. All right, so here I go. Mike in Orlando. He has... This is in order. Dez Evans, Trent Simpson, Jaquarius Conley. He says it's a position of need. Jacoby Cohen and Kedrick Bigley-Jones.
Good stuff. Next is Deldrick from Lucama, which is formerly Nightdale. I don't know what that means. But he has Trenton Simpson, number one, Dez Evans, two, Jaquarius Conley, three, Joe Moore, four, and Jacoby Cohen at five.
All right, we have Ken from Manikin Sabot, Virginia. I've never heard of this town. I'm assuming in order, Desmond Evans, Jacoby Cohen, Moose Muhammad, Kedrick Bigley-Jones, and Trent Simpson.
All right, good stuff. And then I have Terrell from Goldsboro. And he listed them in reverse order, but I'm going to go from the number one. He has Miles Murphy, number one, Dez Evans, two, Jacoby Cohen, 2A, Trenton Simmons, number three, Jacoby Cohen, number four, and Kedrick Bigley-Jones at five.
All right. We have Steven from Unicol, Tennessee. Moose Muhammad, Miles Murphy, Trent Simpson, Dez Evans, Kedrick Bigley-Jones.
Great. And we have Dale from Waxhaw, and he had some descriptions for each guy. I'll read those. Number one, Dez Evans, a five-star national recruit in our backyard. Number two, Trent Simpson, player and probably our biggest area of need, linebacker, and at one of the top in-state schools who annually produces Power 5 talent. That's a good point there. Number three, Moose Muhammad. The second, the ability to play now and develop into number one receiver. Number four, Miles Murphy. I think he would thrive as a strong side defensive end in Jay Bateman's schemes. Plus, UNC needs to reestablish a Greensboro pipeline. Number five, Jaquarius Conley, the perfect hybrid safety linebacker, reminds me of a young Roy Williams, the Oklahoma safety, who wasn't afraid to make plays in the box.
All right, Cedric from Atlanta, he gives us, in order, Dez Evans, Trent Simpson, Miles Murphy / Kedrick Beakley-Jones, Jaquarius Conley, and the number five, he threw in a little wild card here. It says, miracle win against Clemson and flip Mitchell Mays. I guess he thinks that we're going to beat up Clemson and steal his bride, or otherwise we'll kick Colin McLaughlin.
Great. John from Alexander has a lot of the names we've seen already. One, Desmond Evans. Two, Trenton Simpson. Three, Moose Muhammad. Four, Jaquarius Conley. And five, Kedrick Beakley-Jones.
All right. We have Garrett from Durham. He has Desmond Evans, Trenton Simpson, Kedrick Beakley-Jones, Jaquarius Conley, and Quinton Williams.
Philip from Stedman, North Carolina, never heard of that town either, he has Desmond Evans 1, Trenton Simmons 2, Kedrick Beakley-Jones 3, Miles Murphy 4, and Jacoby Cohen 5. Those five names seem like the most common, I think, that list
yes.
right there.
Yes, yes. We have Michael from, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, Altamonte Springs. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, double A at the beginning there.
Yeah, flew me off a little bit. All right. Number one, Dez Evans, Trent Simpson, Jacoby Cohen, Jaquarius Conley, and Kedrick Beakley-Jones.
Brent from Gilbert, Arizona. Shout out to our Arizona listeners. One, Desmond Evans. Two, Trenton Simpson. Three, Jacoby Cohen. Four, Kedrick Beakley-Jones. And five, Jaquarius Conley.
All right, we have James from Parts Unknown. Kedrick Beakley, this is reverse. Kedrick Beakley-Jones, Moose Muhammad, Quinton Williams, Jacoby Cohen, and Desmond Evans.
Paul from Morganton, North Carolina. One, Dez Evans. Two, Trenton Simpson. Three, Quinton Williams, a new name we haven't seen yet. Four, Kedrick Beakley-Jones. Is it Bingley or Bigley?
Bingley.
Bingley. I've been saying it wrong every time.
But I think when you kind of say it fast, I mean, whenever I say it fast, I think it comes out as Bigley, but it's Bingley. Yeah.
Okay, Beakley-Jones. I apologize. And five, Jaquarius Conley.
All right, Matt, also from Parts Unknown. See, you guys got to let us know where you're from, all right? Because Matt could be anywhere. Matt could be my neighbor. I don't even know it. Anyway, Dez Evans, Trent Simpson, Quinton Williams, Kedrick Beakley-Jones, Jaquarius Conley.
And Jonathan, last one from Charleston, South Carolina. He has one, Dez Evans, two, Trent Simpson, three, Miles Murphy, four, Kedrick Beakley-Jones, and five, Moose Muhammad.
All right. So am I to understand that Ross Martin did not do his homework and will not have a top five to present?
I could probably pull one together, but I, I'm an unbiased journalist. I try to stay out of, picking what UNC needs and wants, but I can probably roll with something.
Okay. All right.
One thing I've noticed, does UNC have any offensive linemen committed right now? I think they have one, right?
They have two. They have
Malik McGowan.
Malik McGowan and Zimmerman.
How many are they going to take?
They'll at least take one more.
Okay. Always think that linemen are the most important players.
Okay. I got gotcha. All right. Okay.
Let's get your five.
All right. So... I'll just start with number five. I went with just running back, and obviously I can go really, really crazy. And you guys might think I'm on something and say Zachary Evans. He's a 5-star guy from Texas who has mentioned North Carolina here and there, but I think that stuff will stop once he comes out with his top five soon. Cause I don't think North Carolina is going to be on that top five. He doesn't mention North Carolina often, just a little bit, just to keep the posters entertained a little bit. But
you are putting this guy in your top five, or you're not?
I'm just saying running back. If I had to pick just one, I would go Jahmyr Gibbs, but I could also go DJ Jones from Fayetteville. And I guess my mentality is I think North Carolina on offense, for the most part, yes, there are still holes to fill on offense. for this class, that is. All right, I'm not talking about the team in general, just talk about this class. But I just feel like they need a game-breaking running back to pair with Elijah Burris. And North Carolina feels that way also. They're definitely still recruiting a second running back. And I feel like they need that for that class. It's not a huge need compared to some of the defensive needs, but it's definitely a number five need. And Jahmyr Gibbs would be my number one choice. Well, Zachary Evans would be my number one choice, but that's a pipe dream.
All right, let's get your top five, man. What's all this talking about?
All right.
You're beating around the bush.
All right, so running back. All right, number four, Moose Muhammad. He is obviously a guy that North Carolina is kind of sort of just battling with NC State for. And I think that if he doesn't end up at North Carolina, there's a very good chance he ends up at NC State, and that would not be good for UNC. He's also a polished guy who I feel like he would make an impact as a freshman for sure. Number three is Jaquarius Conley. He is a guy who's just an absolute player. There's been very few players who I have went to their practices and I felt like they took practice more seriously than Conley. I mean, I feel like he's just, everything is business to this guy. And I feel like he would bring that into college. Those are some of the intangibles that you can't really see with a lot of kids. And they end up tending to be the downfall of a lot of really good players, because once they get to college, they don't take the practices seriously and all that. But Conley has it. Plus, he is a Buck Sanders favorite. All right. So number.
It took you forever to get to that.
It took me forever to find it again.
Into the podcast to play the Buck Sanders music.
Yeah, we got it. Well, you know, we have to pick up our Buck Sanders call out. So anyway. All right. Number two. Trent Simpson. We mentioned him a bunch earlier in the podcast. Two reasons is, I mean, I think he's an absolute player. Talked about why earlier, and also the Mallard Creek pipeline. That was really kind of what was a tiebreaker between him and Conley is that you can, whenever you could take a kid from Mallard Creek, you do it. And so my number one is dude, that's the worst drum roll. I did not sample that before posting it. So, Dez Evans. I bet everybody was didn't know what it was going to be. Obviously, he's a five-star guy, top guy in state, and similar to Moose Muhammad. If he doesn't end up in North Carolina, there's a good chance he ends up at NC State. And if North Carolina really wants to have a top 15 class, I think having a five-star is a necessity, as the great and wise Buck Sanders has pointed out. So that is my top five. What are your thoughts, Ross?
Yeah, you had a lot of the same names a lot of our listeners had as well. I think in-state recruiting is so important, and you have a couple guys here that are right around – in the neighborhood with Dez Evans and Trent Simpson and Miles Murphy. Miles Murphy would be one of my top guys, just to kind of start that Greensboro pipeline. He's a highly ranked defensive tackle. I think it's so hard to get defensive tackles. So you get Dez Evans and Miles Murphy in the same class. That's a pretty good duo on the defensive line moving ahead. Wide receivers with Moose Muhammad is so key for this offense, and Trent Simpson seems like a very, very talented linebacker, and you can never have enough of those. All right, Don, is there anything else you want to talk about before we close this podcast out, our second podcast together?
No, I think hopefully this was a lot smoother than the last one, and I think we'll get better with each one. So hopefully everyone's enjoying listening to the new way that we're doing these. Not much different from the old way, but it is new.
Good stuff. Get your top five UNC recruiting areas to Don this week, and we'll hopefully be back next week with our third podcast. But for now, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.